We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host.
Year?
Of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio, that thing is getting a bit of a remodel here shortly, above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California. My lovely wife, my co-host, my CFO, my overall great gal, Melissa Ruth Nickerson, great to see you.
Hey there.
With us as well as Andy.
As subtle as a brick in the small of your back.
Yeah. thanks everybody for tuning in to our little podcast that could hear. Today we're chatting birth order. Middle kids are getting their due. This is Mel's
moment.
Uh-huh. This is Mel's episode.
Yes.
For those of you who, for those of you who like when, or don't like when I interrupt Mel or vice versa, this is going to be a good episode for you because I'm going to let Mel ramble and not ramble, talk for long periods of time because frankly, you have more to say this about this than me.
I do.
You got notes.
A little bit. Not really.
I got a summary.
You got a summary?
I never get a lead-in summary.
Yeah.
You took an article and summarized it for me.
Yeah, Mel summarized an article for you, so.
You know how I love presenting information.
You love it. You love to learn. Lifelong learners right here.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of triple L's. Mm-hmm. Lifelong learners.
I love having a presentation to give the class.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my strong suit.
What's on your little note right there? What's that say?
MLB thing.
Oh, yeah. I got to do a little... Because every once in a while I go on... Whenever I'm in New York, actually, they ask me to go and be on MLB Network, which is always fun. And one of the producers was like, hey, we're doing a little back to...
Baseball's
back.
Yep.
Do a little video thing talking about why you're excited about the Mariners. And the honest truth is I'm not excited about the Mariners because they did nothing to improve their team in any way whatsoever. And I'm going to give them a funny version of the video where I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And then one that they'll probably put on TV.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is MLB Network. It's not like you can say certain things on like if you're Rich Eisen, who has a huge show on NFL Network, he can't badmouth the refs very much because he works for the NFL. NFL,
yes.
ESPN doesn't work for the NFL. Fox Sports doesn't work for the so if I was on Fox or ESPN...
You don't work for any of them.
I don't work for any of them. But the producers are probably going to be like, hey, man, you can't trash a team.
You got to toe the line. And this is how in every comedy contract for a casino... You're not allowed to make fun of the casino.
Yes. Or too much about gambling or anything like that. You know, you do a lot of this stuff as a comedian. So I'm going to be on when I'm in Toronto. I got an offer to be on a thing called The Social, which is the Canadian version of The View. It's four women talking about whatever's happening in the world. Did I tell you about this?
No.
Are they like the nicest four women in the...
I don't know. I've only watched a couple clips, and I was there like, you just want to do this? That's good promotion. Help move some tickets in Toronto. Build up your following in Canada. And I was like, great. I love Canada. Big fan of Canada. And I watched it. It was like, Trump releasing the JFK files. And I was like, oh. And then the next one was like, Trump and Elon. And I was like, whoo. And they were like kind of giving takes. And I'm like, I'm not takes guy. I'd like joking about all these things. But I told my manager, Dariush was like, I was just like, hey, man, if they want me to go on there, because they've had like Roy Wood and like Adam Conover, who like are comedians. Those comedians have takes, but I'm not a takes guy. So I was like, if they want to like talk seriously about all this stuff and then me to go do one joke at the end to put a button on it, that I can do.
Yes.
I can do that. Like if they want me to, but if they're coming in hot about like, what do you think about Trump putting these tariffs on us? I'm like, I'm not sure what tariffs are. I believe tariff is a Pokemon. It's second generation. It evolves into Terfleon. Terrifleon. Terrifleon. It evolves into Terrifleon. Second generation fire type. It's
they'd be like, what?
From the Kanto region. And they're going to stare at me, and they're going to give me, somehow they're going to give me less than what you two just gave me now.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
So catch me on the social.
Gotta catch them all.
Zing, zing. Mel woke up in a good mood today.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I couldn't wake up.
You couldn't wake up.
I could not wake up.
Yeah.
Our 10-year-old last night announced that she wanted to get up early and curl her hair.
She did not get up early. Spoiler alert.
We have to leave at 7:30 to go to her school every morning. That's not curl your hair time.
No, we made it out the door at 7:44 today. And then I got to be back with that car to give to Joel at 8:05.
Yes.
But Joel was up and at him today.
Joel was actually ready early.
He walked out the door with like 20 packages he's got to ship.
Senioritis didn't take over today.
No.
Yeah.
It's pretty hard to wake up as a 17-year-old. And you kind of want to be like, hey, man, you're going to feel better now waking up than you are the rest of your life. Get up, enjoy it. Get up and run without stretching. And ice bathing after.
Youth. It's wasted on the youth.
Oh, that's not how that phrase goes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Dude, don't.
I was waiting for you
me to say something about ice baths? I don't.
No, I was just waiting for you to contribute to the bit.
I tried.
Instead of youth is wasted on the youth. Youth is wasted on the young, George Bernard Shaw. It's all right. I only put it in a book I wrote about you.
How do you expect me to remember all this?
All right, everybody. We got to get to some stuff before we get to the meat here. One, this got announced. What's today? Tuesday. 2 days ago, everybody. We're going cruising. I love it when we're cruising together. Remember that? Nothing, you don't.
I'm not confident to sing along.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Nate Land at Sea is happening, everybody. February's 5th through 9th. February 5th through 9th. And a year from now.
That
is not. Yep. Oh, it's exactly. Oh, yeah. It's a year from now. I'm not announcing this from the cruise right now. You missed it. Everybody missed it. It's just us out here and Nate.
What's the
always? Just me, you, Nate, and Harper. Laura couldn't make it.
Don't miss the boat.
Mel said. There you go.
You know?
Laugh until your sides hurt, everybody. Don't miss out. It's we're going. So our podcast, we're going to be doing some some live podcasts. I'll be doing some stand-up, Nate Land podcast, Consumers podcast, ton of big comics out there. John Christ is going to be out there. Dusty Slay is going to be out there. Nate Bargatze is going to be out there. Derek Stroop, the Graham K, Nick Thune. It's a crazy lineup. Aaron Webb, the Nate Land guys, Aaron, Brian, tons of comics are out there. Mike Vecchione, Joe Zimmerman, Nick Novicki, Dustin Chafin. It's going to be great. Check it out, everybody. Go to natelandatsea.com. We are going through somewhere in Mexico. I forget the details. But we're going through the Gulf of America, because I believe that's what it's called now. So set sail with us. Don't miss the boat, Mel said.
Yeah,
I love it when we're cruising together. Huh? Cruise on over to Nateland at Sea.
Sail with me?
Come sail away. Come sail away. Come sail away with me.
See yes.
Just see yes. Huh?
I got to stop.
You know, keep going.
No. Huh? I can't think of anymore.
Yeah, that's it. Oh, I'm excited. I have a wave of emotions coming over me right now. I am, huh? Wave? Come on.
Okay.
Keep up, everybody. They can't just be the most obvious ones.
I'm still going back to my, anyway.
Full disclosure, you guys, I might be puking my guts out on this tour. I've never gone on a cruise. I've avoided cruises because I get very motion sick. Like, how motion sick? I'm like, I can't ride carousels. A carousel takes me out.
This is a seasick tour for a
seasick tour, everybody. Check it out. Nateland at Sea. Mm-hmm. And if you want a slight less commitment, you can also catch me on tour.
No boats involved.
This weekend I'm in Denver, Colorado at Comedy Works. 2 weeks I'm going to be in St. Louis. The following weekend I'm going to be in St. Louis, Missouri at Helium Comedy Club for 5 shows, and then Columbia, Missouri at the Blue Note on February 16th. Toronto, February 20th through 22nd. And then we've got NorCal, Santa Cruz, Petaluma, Berkeley. Then we're going to Lexington, Kentucky in April, Eugene, Oregon in May, and Brea, California in May, Las Vegas, Nevada, June 6th through 7th, Pottstown, PA, Richmond, Virginia, Stamford, Connecticut. Just went on sale, Kansas City, Missouri. I'm giving Missouri lots of love. October 16th through 18th, and this one just went on sale, but I have not. It's I got to put it on the website right now.
He's gonna do it right now.
I'm not gonna do it right now, but I'm gonna do it soon. I'm going to be in New Orleans on July 11th at the Howlin' Wolf. There you go. So check that out.
I see you're playing at the Comedy Club of Kansas City. There on the site.
You know, typos happen, and you know.
At least they got Las Vegas, Nevada,
you know,
right.
You know what's funny is then the designer for the flyer that got posted yesterday, they spelled Vegas wrong. So we just, you know, typos, they are good for engagement, actually. So,
We put them there for the editor. You know, the
little Easter eggs.
Keyboard editors.
Keeping people, people sharp.
That's right.
Leave us reviews if you haven't already. This is a 5-star review from Barry Good Laugh. 5-star review, a new favorite. I love hearing about their family and relatable parenting. As a mom of 3 young kids, I appreciate a good laugh about the glorious mess of having children.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then let's do, we're taking emails right now.
We are.
And you can join the Facebook group.
All things Valentine's Day.
All things Valentine's Day. Hot takes. Also, how's Valentine's changed since, you know, marriage, the long you're married, single, dating, courting, charming, stalking, whatever you're doing. How's Valentine's changed over the years for you?
Yeah.
This subject, this is from Virginia, who don't sing like she used to. Mm-hmm. Some people would go meet Virginia when they hear Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm going Virginia don't sing like she used to. This is subject falling asleep. Hey, Dustin and Mel, I love laughing with your podcast. I have to tell you that I never fall asleep to your pod and instead use it to stay awake on long drives and right now sponsoring a bunch of middle school choir kids on a bus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Don't tell. And then she names two comics that we know.
Okay.
But I regularly fall asleep to their specials. What other comedians / shows should I fall asleep to? Well, I'm not going to name names of comedians.
That seems like.
What about shows? What shows? What could you fall asleep to? Not Squid Game.
I can't fall asleep to anything, but. But a white noise machine.
Some people do fall asleep in
in a weighted blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, someone with ADHD, it's just whatever show's going on in my mind as soon as those lights
your
go off.
Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
MASH comes to mind.
Yeah.
Something old that isn't quite as punchy and has kind of that old 70s, 80s laugh track kind of just.
Lol, yeah. MASH was always on when my family was like setting the table for dinner, but that was because we only had one channel on the TV in Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, on the Air Force Base.
About America occupying a country.
Yes.
Oh, how about that? Seems a little on the nose.
Snoozer.
Subject, you're my chore pod. Hey, this is from Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dustin, Melissa, and Andy. The housework episode was so great. I literally listen to your podcast while I do my weekly deep house cleaning. So it's perfect timing. I think that housework definitely shifts and evolves as your kids get older and as we mature as a couple and get over ourselves. Haha, I can clean now while the kids are at school and just get it done in an hour and feel good about it because it stays clean. The toddler years are just survival years.
Mm-hmm.
There will be goldfish in the couch and toothpaste in the sink. Now our kids are gone during the day and we work from home, so we can just kind of tidy up as we go. The other thing my husband and I figure out is I'm the mess and he's the germaphobe. So my way of doing the dishes, i.e. throwing them in the dishwasher with a very lazy rinse, was disgusting to him. So he took it over. He gets pristine dishes and I get a clean at the end and I get a clean kitchen at the end of the day. Win-win. We both just focused on what matters to us and we are happier that way. Sometimes I just take out the trash because it bugs me and sometimes he does because it bugs him. The trick is not keeping score. See a need, meet a need, and everybody wins. Now back to these toilets. That's pretty good, actually. See a need,
yeah,
meet a need.
Yeah, that's actually like this whole new wave of like teaching your kids how to contribute in the house.
Let them?
It's called Let Them.
Yeah.
It's a chore app for children.
Is it? It's no, a, no, yeah.
No, it's like a book or a influencer.
Didn't we talk about it?
Not, yeah, okay. This is like, I'm sorry, it's not Let Them. That's a book by Mel Robbins. This is like, you know, everyone for 10 minutes, everyone in the house is like, find something that needs to be done.
Oh, okay.
So you're training your children to look for like cleaning up instead of assigning them a specific thing to do.
That's
so
interesting.
The point is that they would kind of notice what needs to be done.
Well, I'm here to tell you, they don't. I'm doing a thing right now that if somebody doesn't clean the sink and
in the bathroom
mm-hmm. after they brush their teeth, I go find them.
Yeah.
I will. I've multiple times turned on the light and woken Gloria up.
Yeah.
She's in bed and
she's
I'm like
a repeat offender.
Go clean the sink.
She's always leaves like a glop of toothpaste in the sink.
I'm like, I know you didn't brush your teeth well because
every day.
If you brush your teeth well, there would be no big glop.
Yeah.
The glop is a sign that you just that one bothers me. But you're that way. And I'm not even so we all have different things. A dirty sink, that irritates me. Mm-hmm. Any, and I'm not talking about gross stuff, but like a tissue in the toilet, it doesn't even have to be the gross stuff.
Yeah.
Any type of debris in the toilet, you cannot stand. This is how Melissa walks into the bathroom and flushes the toilet. Every time she goes, it's just an immediate flush.
I have like a real thing about bathrooms. Like, I wipe the counter, the floor, the toilet every time I go in there.
Yeah.
I'm probably insane. I'm probably off the charts OCD for this, but I just do not want the bathroom dirty.
Yeah.
I don't visibly want to see stuff.
Something tells me that as people are going to get on the Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans and tell us that they're the same way here on Facebook or whatever, or shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Cause what is your thing? What's your like in the house pet? Because Mel's is the bathroom, particularly the toilet, I feel like.
No, I mean, I'm wiping everything.
Every time you go in. You just grab a wipe every time you walk in.
Toilet.
Yeah.
But you're right that I will flush
the
toilet.
But not the tub.
I will flush the toilet, like, because I don't want to see stuff in there.
Yeah. Even a tissue.
I want it to look white. like, you know. But I think she's right that some people, like, it's the dishes.
Yeah.
They need to be clean. We're eating off them.
Yeah.
Like, recently, within the last year, I started, like, sanitizing like phones and remotes and doorknobs, like light switches. I started doing that every week, like this year.
Love
and
it.
You're like, well, you know, 18 years ago, it could have started, you know, maybe a couple less colds if you'd done that, but I just didn't.
Like, yeah.
I didn't think of it, or I didn't have time. I didn't prioritize it. It's like you water the plants, you sanitize the doorknobs, you know, like.
It's true. Yeah. You know? And that's a thing that, you also, Mel's a light turner offer.
Oh, yeah. That was funny in Vegas.
Oh, that was a funny moment in Vegas. Yeah. Well, you did it today. And that, so here's how our mornings go. Everyone's got a different family routine, but this is what ours go. So Mel, in theory, gets up at 6:45.
I've been doing 6:30 because our little one, our youngest, is trying to spend more time getting ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Because she's growing up. So yeah. 6:30, 6:45, mm-hmm. your alarm starts going off.
Yes.
Whatever mm-hmm. time you get out of bed, that's TBD, but the alarms start going off around 6:30, yeah. 6:45.
Usually I turn on her light.
Yes.
And feed the cats.
And then you'll turn on my light, our light, at like 7.
7. Mm-hmm.
And my job is to go get Claire out of bed.
Yeah.
Which I did this morning, which is like, okay, her light's on, but now I usually do it with a blanket on me still, and I go over and I get her out of bed, and then I stay out of the kitchen because you kind of got
tight.
It's tight.
And I have a list.
You have a list.
Yep.
And I've tried to help with those things before, and you don't care for the help because you've got to feed the cats, finish back. The lunches were packed the night before, but you got to put the refrigerables in there.
Refrigerables.
You know what I mean, right?
Absolutely.
You got to put the apples and the cheese stick in there. Mm-hmm. So you put the refrigerables, and then you put them in the backpack.
Yeah.
You get the coffee. You feed the cats. You put the dishwasher away because we got one that connects to the sink.
One.
And you get the meds out, and you get all the stuff.
Water bottle for Claire, and then breakfast.
Right.
And then I also handle the bunny.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, and then my job is just to kind of keep Claire moving.
Yep.
And then I drive Claire in. These are days I'm home. You do all this when I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then I drive Claire in, and then I come back, and then I help get the teens at the house. But so today, I leave the bedroom to go get Claire, and I leave the door open and the light on because I'm going to be back there in 90 seconds. And in the 90 seconds that I'm there, as you're walking by, you turn the light off and you shut the door.
Right.
You don't even think about it. You just go, doo, doo, doo.
But part of it is because our old cat is the absolute worst.
Yeah, Fritter is going to go under our bed.
And like throw up poop.
And eat some plastic. And who knows? You know?
If he can do it, he will.
He's going to find.
And he has. So he does not
he is currently, right now.
Bedroom privileges.
I can't believe. Cat's 18.
He's almost 19. I think he's 19.
Yeah.
I think we have surpassed 18.
He hasn't jumped in 3 years. We got an old cat that won't jump. And
I was watching the Squid Game finale with Claire, and Fritter would not sit down.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't sit down because I didn't want to sit anyways, but he wants to like bug me and bite me.
Yeah.
And so
bug and bite. That's what I do.
Both of us stood.
Yeah.
Whole episode because he was just trying to bite me.
I was thinking about how Fritter sleeps like you do, and Donut Hole sleeps like I do. Fritter's like a deep unconscious, cannot be bothered one, and Donut Hole is just every second
shifty,
just never really actually. There's no REM sleep for him.
No, I mean Donut Hole, our younger cat, personifies an introvert. Because somebody comes in the yard and he like bolts out
back
door. And then Fritter like comes out and he's like, hey, who are you?
I mean,
you want to pet me?
Fritter or Donut Hole, like our daughter Gloria, hides in the bushes when people would come around. Good stuff. Oh, so yeah, we were in Vegas for a night. Mel was in Vegas. We're going to talk about I was in Vegas with Nate this last week. And
the lights.
This is so fun. We're leaving the hotel room to go out for a couple hours, and you turn all the lights off. And I'm like, what are you doing? And you're like, well, saving energy. I'm like, in Las Vegas? You're worried about our hotel room light?
Lights and signs.
Look around you. You're worried about our light usage?
Yeah, because our hotel room had one light that turned off every light.
Yeah.
And that, you don't get that often.
You
utilize that.
Yeah. I mean, this is.
So it's a drop in the bucket. Yeah.
No, Mel, it's not even a drop. It's a, I don't know. It's It's a molecule in the bucket. I mean, look around you, Melissa.
It's a fog outside and the bucket's in the garage.
Yeah, yeah. It's not even related. I mean, you could turn off every hotel room in Las Vegas and it wouldn't, it could shut down all of the wind's power and you wouldn't even notice that the energy went down on in regard to light usage in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was funny, though.
It was ironic.
But listen, you raise a point. Mm-hmm. All right, here's an email right here. This is from Melanie.
Okay.
Subject, Dust Nikki. There are no falls in Smith's Falls either. Hi, you said nicknames were okay. Dust Nikki. Anyways, thanks. Thank you for making me laugh about life's weirdness. I really appreciate your advice and wisdom also. The LOL face. I live in Smith Falls, a small town in Ontario, Canada. We're told it's named after a man named Smith. However, there are a couple weird things about this. Shouldn't there be an apostrophe showing possession? But no, there isn't. I'm not an English major, but something is definitely weird about that. Also, do not forget the S. People around here don't like that. Okay. It's not Smith Falls. It's Smith's Falls. Yeah. Secondly, and probably most importantly, Smith's Falls.
Tough.
Tough name. Tough fame.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Ear.
Secondly, and probably most importantly, there are no falls. We're taught in school that perhaps there once were some falls, but the locals seem vague about the location of these falls. It is awkward when you're stopped on the street by tourists driving aimlessly looking for falls. Anyways, I hope you keep enjoying coffee in California, wear your chevrons proudly, and bring back these geese with bonnets. I do have some unsolicited advice. Decorate your studio in a burgundy and forest green with a floral border of wallpaper halfway up around the wall room. And that's free advice. You're welcome.
Only Hunter Green.
Yeah, yeah. Take care. Melanie, you can call me Mel, but it might get confusing for your Mel. Burgundy and forest green with a floral border halfway up. Well, we're getting a redesign, but it's not... Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're going to go that direction, but Andy and Mel have something to consider now.
We got some free advice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Evan said this in the Facebook group. Shout out to Dustin making unknowingly a timeless video in 2020 about bringing eggs home from the grocery store. Just texted my mother-in-law for picking up eggs from a local stand. Also greeting from Central Illinois, where we have local egg stands.
I keep telling the kids, I think I finished the eggs Thursday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to the store till next Thursday.
I don't got egg money.
So I'm just like, there are no eggs in this house.
No.
So don't get a pan out and start thinking you're making eggs because you're not.
You kids want birthday presents or scrambled eggs? Which one you want, huh? For Christmas, everyone's getting an omelet this year.
For Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day omelet. Cheaper than Tiffany's. Barely.
Shaped as a heart.
Yeah. Everyone this year for Valentine's Day is going to get Cadbury eggs because they're more affordable.
Yeah. Cadbury eggs. That was the height of luxury.
Yeah. That's Easter, though, right?
Yeah.
Easter, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I've never liked a Cadbury egg. I hate it every time I have it.
I think you're like, oh, these are going to be cool. And then you're like, why does the chocolate look like an egg yolk?
Yeah. Why is it?
What's that?
Ugh. You like them?
I loved them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the side of like, oh, look, you crack them like an egg, and there's stuff inside, and there's a lot of sugar.
Yeah,
you eat one now, you're like, oh my God, so much sugar.
Yeah, it's so sweet.
I don't like
it's like a frosting.
Yeah. I don't like a filling, though, for the most part.
Yeah.
You like a jelly donut? A lemon?
Yeah, I like a jelly donut.
Yeah.
I like custards.
Yeah.
Mousses. Do you not like those?
I get down with some mousse, but not too much, you know.
No, we're not too big on.
Mousse tracks.
Ayo.
Moose Tracks ice cream.
Yum.
Yum, yum. it's so stupid. Yeah, I don't like a filling. I don't like a surprise texture going in there.
No, like apple or cherry chocolate pies from the gas station?
No.
No, we're not a big pie people. Yeah.
Pecan pie. Yeah, I don't know. This is riveting content.
Yes.
All right, let's do a weekend recap and then get into our topic. So this last weekend, it was more than a week. It was Wednesday. I flew out to Las Vegas, Nevada. I was out with this comic named Nate.
Comer?
keep an eye on this guy. Keep an eye on this. I can remember how it's. Yeah, Bergetz. I don't know. I think keep an eye on him. We were doing some little dive bar off the strip. I think he's sold out like 15 shows at the Wynn this month. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was really fun because a lot of that hang is always based on who the openers are. Nick Thune and Graham were out there. And Graham Kay, who's I met touring with Nate, just become a close friend. And Nick, who's the second time I've hung out. Nick and I have a lot of common being Seattle folk. And I mean, he's from Redmond. I'm from Federal Way, which if you know the Northwest, you don't have anything in common other than
opposites.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But regardless, it was a good hang. It's great seeing Nate. The new hour is so good. Mm-hmm. It's already so funny. He's absolutely prolific. And, you know, Vegas is such a unique thing because you're just living. It's just, I was explaining to Graham how it's like, the reason that I like Vegas is because at a certain point, a lot of cities start to feel the same to me.
Yeah.
And there's like 10 to 15 cities in America that I go to and I'm like, this is different than the other places I go. And I don't mean that as like
other places have like a downtown and
then you roll into a Nashville or an Atlanta or an Asheville, and you go, oh, this is different than or a New York or an LA or a Portland, and you go, okay, this is a little different. Mm-hmm. Than what I'm, and for better or for worse, I'm not saying, or I just go a Philly, it's SF, you just go, oh, this one's got its own really unique flair to it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the three most standout different cities in America that have their own very unique feel to them are LA, New York, and Vegas. And Vegas is arguably the most unique of all of them, and that everyone goes, like, what's Vegas like? You go, it's just Vegas, man. It's not like anything. I mean, Atlantic City, which is I call less Vegas, that's its own, like, kind of cheap version. Not cheap, but just,
yeah,
it is cheap.
I did say Vegas is like the West Coast Nashville.
Yes, yeah, yeah. You do getaways out here. You know, like, all due respect to Nashville, which I love the city. Vegas, they call it Nash Vegas.
Yeah.
Like as kind of an, and Broadway's great. I as far as spending time goes, I love Nashville more than I like Vegas.
Yeah.
As far as time goes. But Vegas is its own, and Graham had never been.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah. So we walk the strip and he's like, this is like an awful dystopia. I'm like, yes, it is. But the world comes here in its own unique thing. And the shows are very unique. And then, you know, being out there with Nate, you're staying at the Wynn. We played golf. It was unbelievable. It's like, it's great. And Nate is on such this level of fame. Like Nate has crazy famous fans now. Because he's so big and he's so good. And you remember that celebrities are real people. And so they're like, hey, Clayton Kershaw's coming back to say hi. And you're like, what? That's unbelievable. You know, like that's just a thing that happens. And it's, but you know, I'm so grateful for those shows. And I'm excited to be back playing the comedy club. I'm not doing the Wynn when we're there and at Wise Guys Comedy Club in June. But I'd never been to Peppermill. Right? Is that what it's called?
I took my mom there once.
And it's great. Yeah. And it's like, it's on the strip, but it's like a old diner, local. Which got old Vegas feel to it. It's great. Mm-hmm. There is a very good coffee shop to do a mothership out in Fremont, which is very good. We like that. There's always a trip to Frankie's. It was great. And then you came out one night.
I came out Thursday night.
Yeah.
And I went to my kids' high school for Parent Shadow Day.
Yes. This is such a nice, a perfect example of the duality of life that you have. And
yeah,
Mel did a full shadow day.
Went to high school. Saw my two kids at high school. It's a very unique thing their school does.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine my parents following me around at high school.
I'd rather not imagine my parents following me around at high school.
But they let you do this.
Yeah.
And I did it. And I had a quick coffee with my son, and then I drove to the airport and he picked up his sisters for me. So, yeah, so I just did one night in Vegas.
You fly out.
Less than 24 hours.
Oh, 18 hours. You fly out.
Yeah.
I meet you at the airport with coffee.
That's right.
We mm-hmm. we go, we hang out.
We had a dinner.
We had a dinner.
We went to Frankie's with some of the comics.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a
yeah.
local friend.
Yep.
And then we went to Circa, saw the view there.
Yeah, it's cool. Great. Yeah, came back to the casino for a bit, hung yeah. out, mm-hmm. got some breakfast, sent you on your way.
In and out.
18 hours in yep. Vegas.
Mm-hmm. and then I...
Which is honestly not a bad way to do Vegas, because I'll tell you, I was there 4 nights. Too many
too
nights.
Long.
I told Graham that. I was like, yeah. this is too many Vegas nights. Like, mm-hmm. you just... 2 nights in Vegas to me is perfect.
Vegas is the internet, but a city.
Yes, that's good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. And you're losing more money in this scenario. A lot of people don't gamble in Vegas, though, because it is like a foodie entertainment city. There's a lot of good shows.
Some people are there for the high-end fashion and the high-end food.
Yeah.
You know, there's various ways to do it, you know.
It's I comp it to Disneyland in that mm-hmm. it's a very singular experience that's not for everybody. But some people really like it.
But there's different price points.
Uh-huh.
There's not that many different price points at Disney.
That's a great point. Vegas is more accessible than Disney because you can't get in. There's no circus price at Disney.
There's a budget.
It's called Knott's Berry Farm.
There's a budget. there's a budget Vegas, and we know it well.
Yeah, well, it's the comped room you're performing at the show is the, but there's
the
also
the price line on a Tuesday.
You know, like, you don't even pick your hotel. They're just like, we'll pick it for you. Here's your star level.
2-3 star.
Yeah.
I mean, we
welcome to the Excalibur
off the strip. Like there were, it took us a long time to get. On the strip.
I've said this before. it years and it took me as a long time as a performer to even get to perform in Vegas. I had to do Prim, Pahrump, Mesquite, Laughlin.
Remember you drove by Vegas.
I kept driving through Vegas. I'm like, I feel like I should be getting off here. but I have to get to Mesquite.
That's what I told you. We had a friend who got married in Vegas when we were in our 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little kid. And no money.
Yeah.
And I was like, and we got invited. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can never imagine going to Vegas.
Right, right.
Like, I can't imagine it. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just, you know, it was the early aughts. I do feel that.
Yeah.
To be able to fly out there and, you know, again, it's a performer hotel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not lost on me.
No.
You know,
Las Vegas. It's you. I when people like any of our listeners who are like, dude, I hate Vegas. And I'll say the same thing I say about all. It's like my life wisdom now. Like, correct. Great. Then hate it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way Vegas is for everybody. Disney's not for it. I feel that way about Disney. I don't get it with Disney. It doesn't do it for me. I don't feel any amount of Disney magic. And they're like, I just go, I'm like, man, it's the most expensive one with the worst rides. And yeah, it's cleaner and it's more charming than other ones, but mm-hmm. it just doesn't do it for me. And I'm right to feel that way. And you're right to be a Disney adult. We're all right.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like Vegas, correct. You are so right. Don't go. If you think it's a disgusting, you know.
Go somewhere else.
Then don't. Or go nowhere. Or stay home. Stay home, too. Live your life. Do whatever you want. But
we'll go to Vegas and you go to Disney.
That was our 14th time in Vegas. Now, again, I'm a performer. And this is what I told Nate.
And we live in Southern California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I told this to Graham. I go, as someone who's in entertainment, I always want to have a little place in Vegas, New York, and L.A. carved out for me. Just these are the clubs that I play here. These are the TV shows that I've done in this city. Like I like that in LA when I go do After Midnight or I did the late show, I really like, it's not an ego thing, that I have my call time and my reserve and I like, this is your parking spot. And then I like that. I like that the Hollywood Improv is the club that I play. I like, And I like that I go to New York and they're like, hey, you're on this show tonight. You get to do your 30 Rock appearance on the Tonight Show and then your spot at these clubs. And same with Las Vegas. I like that my name has been on the strip on the billboard. I like that I've performed on these shows. I just like, Mr. Nickerson, here's your room key. I like, because as someone, an entertainer, you want to have a little piece of that. What I really like, though, more than all of that, is going to cities across the world and performing for people. That's what I like, going to, hey, are you in Denver? Well, I'm coming to you. That's what I like more, because that's what I really got into this for, which is to make people laugh. But I do like in these cities. Yeah, that's why I was telling the Grams, like, we're entertainers, man. This is an entertainment city.
Yes, you should perform in it.
You should perform in it. Yeah.
I was just laughing to myself because we watched Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 12 the night I went into labor.
That's right. Yeah.
Firstborn son.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Full circle, baby.
There you go.
Well, speaking of firstborn, what a segue.
Wow.
We got to, you know, I'm a professional here. So, but we're going to get into this study here in a second. But why don't we talk about some birth order stuff? Because this is...
back in the news.
Back in the news.
And finally...
Unlike middle children. Birth order's back
finally
in the news.
Middle children are getting their due.
So this is a BuzzFeed article. And this probably showed up in your guys' thread somewhere. But it says...
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
This new study about middle children has gone mega viral. New study has found that middle children scored the highest in honesty, humility, and agreeableness in a study analyzing personality traits in over 700,000 people. Mm-hmm. Middle kids are finally getting their due.
It's our turn.
It's your turn.
It's finally our turn.
It's never been your turn. Now,
someone's looking at us.
Well... My initial theory when I saw this is that this has always been true. It's just they forgot to test the middle children.
They just didn't have enough money to actually care to test it.
I think that researchers and surveyors showed up to these homes and they're like, we're going to ask your kids some questions. And they just forgot to go to that room. They're like, oh, well, this is my firstborn.
The firstborn's like, da-da-da.
Yeah. Da-da, the firstborn da-da, answered the door on their way to go be high achieving.
Yes.
And then the baby was like, ask me some questions, too.
Yeah.
And then the middle child just
painting in their room.
Was like, I'm here if you need me. I know you won't. It's an interesting study because... two of those three things make a ton of sense. Humility and agreeableness. Mm-hmm. Because you know what will make you humble?
Always waiting.
No, I'll tell you what makes you humble. I'll tell you what makes you humble. Not being sure how much your parents care about you. Of course they're humble. They don't. Feel the love and affection. They don't feel. Of course, you're humble. They don't feel the love and affection of their parents. And agreeable makes a lot of sense because what is the middle child if not a peacemaker?
Yeah,
you know when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers," he's essentially saying, "Blessed are the middle children, for they shall inherit the earth."
Now they might not.
There's no actual...
They're second born.
There's no actual inheritance. Well, it makes...
As far as like...
Yeah.
They're not going to become king.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great point.
But they don't have all the pressure on them. They don't have all the pressure that the first child carries.
They don't have the...
They also don't have the spotlight.
Well, as you say, they don't have the pressure of the oldest and they don't have the love of the youngest.
The coddling of the youngest.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you said humility.
Agree. The honesty is the interesting one to me. Why do you think middle children are more honest?
Because they've already lost so much.
What does that mean?
They have no other choice but to be honest. Because.
You're saying lying doesn't benefit them in any way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the middle...
I understand. You're a second born, but you don't have a younger sibling.
Right. I'm a youngest technically, but I'm a youngest of two and older sister. But I did get in, and also divorce. It, like, it was a single parent house. So a lot of the traditional things don't apply to me. True. But I am the youngest in the sense that I did get things before. I got things my older sister didn't get before, and I got them at ages younger. Like, I, you know, which is true of our family as well. But
yeah,
so you're saying they are, I just want to understand, you're saying, like, what are they, the middle child's like, dude, even lying won't help me.
Lying will not get you the firstborn privileges. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I, so I have an older brother who's brilliant.
Yes.
And perfect. And then I have twin sisters under me.
Yeah.
And I was 2.5 when those twin sisters were dramatically born.
You got double babies in the family. You know, you have two youngest.
So at 2.5,
you got even more buried than most middle children in the sense that, yes, you had the classic high-achieving older sibling. Yes. But usually there's just one baby. You had two had literal babies
and
who were born early.
It was an emergency, and I decided that I was going to help raise them.
Yeah.
Which no one asked me to raise them. I asked myself to raise them.
Yeah.
And I put it on myself to raise them, which, again, nobody asked me to.
Yeah. I bet middle children are very rarely born early. Because they're like, I'll come out when you're ready, Mom.
Well, no one's ever ready for their second child. That's part of the issue.
Yeah.
Is you're just so busy with your first, and then the second comes along, and you're like, fold in. Like,
yeah, we gotta, fold in. Like,
follow along. You know, like, the ship is going.
Yeah.
But, My friend has four kids, and she's an awesome mom. She always did this. She called it reverse birth order.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, like, they got home from, like, the park, she'd be like, reverse birth order. So the baby gets the goldfish. The third child gets, like, her bandage, you know, on. The second child gets cup of water. The first child.
But doesn't the baby usually kind of get the first thing anyways?
Yes.
Because
I like that, though, because as, like, the oldest child, or the, you get the fake it till you make it, you know, kind of, like, responsibility. So you learn to lie.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I could do that.
Yeah.
I have to, or else
a lot of pay for it.
Because you're an oldest too, right?
So the middle child, you end up benefiting from all our mistakes, and you don't have to fake anything. You're just like, I just watched you fail.
Yeah.
So I know how to do it.
That's a good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to lie to get what I wanted. You just, you know, you just, you messed up, so I get it. Or like, our middle child got a phone much earlier than the oldest child because that's the hardest part about being the oldest kid is you get the worst version of the parents because it's on the job training. Like,
I've never done it before.
I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. So we held off as long as we could on the phone thing because we didn't know how to navigate that. And then we kind of learned how to do it on you.
Technology kind of advanced, unfortunately. Yeah,
for the oldest.
You know, like, he couldn't have a dumb phone because they didn't exist.
Yeah.
Like, he had a dumb watch.
Yeah.
You know, it was a terrible watch.
Yeah. You know, it's true. You know what's interesting about these things, though? Honesty, humility, and agreeableness. These are character things. These are not achievement-based things.
No, they're not. Do you want to know a couple famous middle children?
Sure.
That's a good... we got MLK.
Good one.
Madonna.
Good one. I mean, as far as high achieving goes, Madonna's doing stand-up again. Oh, gosh. She did
again, I didn't know she did this.
She did a set at the Cellar like last week, and I watched. I was like, I'm never going to get into the Cellar. I got to go against Madonna? I had to go again. The last time I was at the Cellar, Aziz and Schumer were there, not in addition to Colin Quinn and Norton was there. It was already a monster lineup. Now Madonna's on the lineup?
Whew.
She already did the Tonight Show. These are hard spots to come by, Madonna.
Wow.
So Madonna's a middle child.
Yes. Warren Buffett.
Okay.
And Abraham Lincoln. Yeah.
Honest Abe. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Honest Abe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a perfect study and nothing is like, you know, but it is kind of funny that they finally did one.
It's funny to think,
you know,
it's funny to think that we consider Abraham Lincoln to be the greatest president ever, but his parents didn't consider him the greatest kid in that family. You know what I mean? They're like, I mean, Abe was
They're
great.
They're like, Abe?
Yeah.
Abe's going to be president?
The tall, skinny one we see sometimes? That guy?
He's never home.
I mean, he...
Look at his big, silly hat.
The whole reason he wore that hat is so we'd remember he was here.
He's like, you know me. I got that unique hat.
Yeah. That's my
They're
thing,
like,
right?
No, we don't know you.
I bet they didn't even realize he was running for president. I bet Abraham Lincoln's parents didn't vote for him. They wrote in the older child.
They're like, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah. Hey, middle kids, enjoy your moment. Your parents didn't read this article.
We're sorry.
Yeah, you get one viral moment. Enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let me ask you this, because I think you have middle child written all over you as far as the classic things that you, because you are a high achiever, but you always feel in the shadow of your older brother and, you know, just classic middle child stuff.
I mean, my brother literally scored a almost perfect SAT score.
I mean, he did get perfect on the math. He didn't miss anything on the math.
That is like the highest bar in the world.
Yes, 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 yes. And then you got an SAT score. Like, Mel graduated in the top 20 of her graduating class, but your brother was number one.
He was a National Merit Scholar.
Yeah, he was yeah.
You can't beat that.
And he was valedictorian, right?
Yes.
He was number one. So you're like, they're like, oh, 17, Melissa? Now, your parents are proud of you, of course, and you have, but it is.
Yeah,
you,
I mean, there's no bar for that, you know?
Yeah.
He's genius.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And then again, you have the very dramatic entry of two twin preemies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I like drawing.
I think it.
You do have very singular, and maybe this is a, is this a middle child thing? Like, you do have very singular personality traits and hobbies and interests that are different than every one of your siblings. None of your siblings were into stamps. You were stamps girl, not collecting postage stamps.
Rubber stamps.
You're an artist.
Cross stitching.
You were the most high achieving athlete of the group. Cross stitching. Did you have your own?
I beat to my own drum.
Yeah.
I think,
is that a middle child thing? Do they do that a lot, or is that just Mel being Mel?
I think the way that life happened, I felt misunderstood always.
Yeah.
And I overcompensated for that with being unique.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of that's just my own wiring and weirdness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and listen, that's the thing. Part of me is like, dude, birth order is super true. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And another part of me is like, this is just a different version of astrology.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I'm the oldest in a Scorpio. So, you know me. And
so,
you know how moody I get. You're like, nah, I think you're just rude. You know?
Yeah. I mean, we all have our insecurities and our flaws. In our natural inclinations.
Except for the oldest kids. They don't. Just ask the parents. No, I think parents are actually, that's the opposite. Parents are often hardest on the oldest.
Well, that's what I mean with the pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think it's different if it's like brothers.
Yeah.
Or sisters.
Yeah.
You know, versus a brother, sister. That's so different.
I think pairing. Yes. So I think birth order absolutely affects who you are as a person. I just think that there are much bigger things at play before that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know,
where you're born,
your context, what your parents are like, where you're born,
when you're born,
your neurology, how you're born, like this, like there's a million.
Yeah.
The baby oftentimes has it so much easier just based on the fact that your parents are more relaxed and they ideally are in a better financial spot than they were when that first one was born, you know?
Yeah.
That's the difference that our youngest has, that our oldest didn't have, is Joel was there for the poverty years. Joel was there at the start of the... And Joel and I missed more days with Joel and Gloria because I was working the two jobs.
Yeah.
Claire has way more time with me.
The amount of time that Claire gets with both of us
alone
just wasn't an option and didn't exist.
Yeah.
Because she's on a different school calendar than Joel and Gloria.
Yeah.
So that's why... On Friday, I went to that show, or that Saturday, I went to that show with Joel.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls were like so upset.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to do one thing for 3 hours with your brother.
Yeah. She took her high school senior to see Santino, who took care of some tickets, which was very kind. And the meet and greet, which gives a senior in high school a lot of credibility, a meet and greet with Andrew Santino. And then afterwards, he's like, I heard Bobby Lee came to the second show.
Which he did.
But the girls are like, what do you mean you're doing something with Joel? I have to carve this time out.
And they're like, what do you mean we don't have a ride?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, can you at least DoorDash us something? You know, and you're like, just stay home for three hours.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it is, I even felt it. I was like, gosh, I do not just hang out with Joel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Joel's coming with me to Colorado this weekend because you're like, you have to carve this time out.
Yep. Whereas, like I said, you, me, and Claire, it's like constant, you know? She gets too much time with us,
honestly. It's holding her back.
So unfortunately, just life is life, you know?
Yeah. Well, what I was going to ask you then was, so you have classic middle... Do you see in me classic baby of the family traits? And you can speak candidly here. Entitlement. I don't know. What other baby of the family?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
Because you won't let people baby you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty high achieving baby of the family. I mean, not on a massive career level, but as far as like an independence thing goes, I'm more independent than most. Now, granted,
you wouldn't have caught me as a youngest.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have.
That's a high compliment. I would have never guessed. I'd have guessed middle at best with you. Maybe even oldest.
I would say probably my biggest middle child, back to me.
Get your moment, middle kids. This is your moment.
Is my independence.
Yeah.
And
all the middles independent. Throw your hands up at me. Because
you're like, I can do it. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll figure it out.
Well, you're not going to get any parental support, so.
And the same for you.
Yeah.
That we're both very independent.
I'll take that as a compliment. Andy, do you see, you're an oldest.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
What's the question?
Yeah. So the traits, the honesty, the humility.
Well, do you see this in your middle kids, and do you
agreeableness?
Oh, yes.
And you I mean, you're a pretty independent entrepreneur. I think a lot of entrepreneur types are those oldest kids, which you're like, I'll just find my own way here. I'm going to
be my own boss.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm an oldest child classification pretty much through and through.
100%. Yeah.
But like totally though. I mean, my middle kid's a theater kid.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like.
Because they can be.
Exactly. You know? So, I mean, individualized, does not share the same interests as the two around him. And so, I mean, this all reads classic. So, hey, I'm hopeful, you know, that he will have the strongest character in my family and watch the rest of his siblings.
Yeah.
We fail.
Yeah. Well, I hope that this turns around for Gloria, because Gloria has not traditionally been our most honest child. So we'll see.
All right. This is a later in life survey.
Yeah, that's true. All right, let's do a couple bingo and dingos and recommendations. Specialty dish. Aaron Weber.
Specialty dish out on YouTube.
If you're watching this on our YouTube channel, then you've seen... Aaron's, it's right there. Check it out. Aaron did the Tonight Show last night. It's very funny. Aaron and I have known each other for a long time. Aaron Weber and I toured from 2018 to 2020 with John Crist. We were the two openers on those tours.
Yeah. All over
and,
the country.
And look at us now. And so, check it out. Very funny. And then Aaron's actually going to be on the pod next week, which is news to our producer. We'll send him a link next week. I don't know which one. It'll probably come out the following week. Yeah.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
Next week's going to be our Valentine's episode.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's right.
And you finished Squid Game season 2, a very intense show that you shouldn't watch with children.
Don't recommend watching that with children.
Yeah.
Don't recommend sitting down during it.
Yeah.
You just keep moving.
But you have, sometimes you have kids who want to have, be able to talk about what their friends are talking about.
She wants to rewatch it before the season 3 finale season comes out. And, you know, and my son watched it and he's like, it's a great storyline. And he's right. It's a great, it's very, of course, it's like number one on Netflix.
It's very compelling.
Yeah. So, but it, you know, I don't think I would ever wish the first episode on anyone. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. Too brutal.
It's, but. Well, you watched it and you get to watch it again. So congrats on all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's all we got.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Want to give a special shout out to our Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thanks so much for giving to the pod and getting a little back. That is Adam Bush.
Avril Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Avery Starr.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Carrie T.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Eibling.
Damaris Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
Dave and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jen Thirk.
Jessica Hanrahan.
Jonathan Rivera.
Jordan Cowan.
Juliana Smith.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slazdom.
Michelle Caslon.
Nicole Carraz.
Norman Perron.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Rachel Kennedy.
Robert and Nellie Capen.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mania and Tiffany Payne. Thanks so much, everybody.